Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Hey, you guys. Welcome back to another bonus episode of Space Trash. I like forgot the name for a second. Sorry. I just woke up. I was like, what's the podcast? Welcome back to Space Trash, Lifestyles of the Rich and Uranus. I am Sarah Armour, and I'm here with our lovely debunker. Yes, that's right. Casey Bunker. Oh, sister. Oh, the pod. N-O, Bachelor Nation. Welcome, Case.
Hey, Trashlings. How we doing? We're going back to Trashler in Paradise this week. We've got to.
Now, I want to say, just for starters, this was one of the longest shows I've ever watched where almost nothing happened.
Yeah, it really has gotten stale at this point, and they got to wrap it up. They have got to wrap it up.
This is my first season of The Beach, you know. But in past seasons, like, are they doing 4-hour episodes where nothing fucking happens or what?
Oh, yeah. No, they do that. They've always done it. And it's like been 2 nights a week and all that stuff. And I'm like, it's summer. I shouldn't be spending my time on this. But yet here we are. So you can just always expect them to, you know, just be a complete time suck. It's fine.
Wow.
But the bit of drama we did get, it was a very top heavy episode. So we came in hot with the drama. And this Ivan drama in the beginning is reminiscent of some other triangles we've seen and some other foul play we've seen. And once again, we have the male fellow going outside the bounds and breaking the rules and, you know, kind of trying to pull the wool over everyone's eyes. And it just really, he fell flatter on his face than anyone else did. I mean, Brendan's was pretty bad, but he did pull it off for a while. Ivan was caught, and I mean, it seems like he just went out on a whim and did this hotel thing. So,
okay. So if blah, 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 for some reason you're listening to this pod and you don't watch the show, which is almost unthinkable, but we'll just do the quick fill in case you did. Ivan led off this episode, which really was a whole episode. I started out when I was taking notes on the ep, like it's my job. I started out with like, wow, like, this is sad boy summer. And then I'm like, this is sad girl summer. And so I want to say this whole episode is just rewarding the tears. This is just sad people getting what they want or getting what they deserve. Right.
Wow.
So we start off with a sad boy summer. Ivan, he is, you know, he's accused of trying to white lie before the rose ceremony. He pulled Chelsea to talk, but Chelsea said he pulled her to talk. And it's like, why are you lying? It's like, you know, there's no drama when like there's a semantic issue about like, this is how we started the conversation, right? It's kind of ridiculous, but okay. Gotcha. A white lie is one thing. But then when we thought nothing was happening during the big storm, we were in fact wrong, and the storm had casualties. So while they were off island, Ivan did a little, you know, jealous girlfriend-esque detective work where he looked at a producer's phone, found the room number of the girl he had a crush on, and he gave a little knock, knock, knock on the door. It reminds me of my days of like going on, you know, class trips that were out of town, like the 3-day like read your way trip or whatever. And the teachers would be like, we're patrolling the hallways, so don't even try to sneak out at night. And then you'd always be like, but are they? You'd like crack your door a little to see if they actually did the tape trick. And the minute you knew you were free, you were like, fuck it, the dude's asleep, right? I feel like this was like harkening back to days of eighth grade travel trips. And he did a little sneak up on Alexa. I don't even know who that is, but he wanted to meet Alexa, and he had been on the island just getting dumped and dumped and dumped, and no one's interested and no one likes me. And you know, he was right. And I think he just couldn't take it anymore. He went to find a lover undercovers in the hotel, which, you know, is not protocol. He broke protocol. And they had a really dramatic conversation where Wells was like, "You want to tell me what you did?" And he, and you could see that Ivan was like, "Is it what I'm thinking? Or did I actually do something else? I'm literally not sure."
Yeah.
And then he finally gets him to go to the hotel. "The hotel, what did you do?" And he goes, "Okay, okay." And then we get the waterworks. And we get the waterworks from Ivan. He goes, "I want to find love." And he's like, "Love makes you do crazy things. You know what? Not finding love makes you do even crazier things, like break protocol."
Wow.
In the middle of the night.
My favorite thing about that too, as well, is going, "Do you understand the gravity of this?"
Oh my God.
Like, well,
oh my
God. I mean, what's the gravity of it? Like, really, you know?
Well, it's like, all he's really saying is like, "Do you get that I have to send you home? Like, do you get that we have to send you home now?" You know? And then I loved, it's like, it's, I think it's really perfect that the episode, and maybe this was on purpose, hats off to you producers making something out of nothing, but like, I sort of feel like it was a nice foreshadow that the beginning of the episode was like, "Well, wait, did he say you want to talk, or did she say you want to talk?" Because I saw flashes of myself when he was like, to be clear, I didn't open the phone, that he left it open. I didn't even have to scroll. It's like,
I know, which okay. I believe. I
really believe, you think he was set up?
Yeah, 100%. Oh my God, of course. Yeah, I'm sure the producers would. Why would anybody leave their phone in Ivan's room? Like, and right. with the thing pulled up with everybody's names. No, they knew. They probably just talked to him, and he probably was like, "I just really wish Alexa was here. She's the one person I wanted to meet, blah, blah, blah." And they're like, "Well, you know, if I just happened to leave they may have even said it to him, like, and acted weren't going to catch him. And then they caught him, or they just left it and left him to do his own dirty work. Like, these people are, I told you, they like found Adderall this season.
If anybody is BTS Bachelor, please let us know. Did the producer leave the phone on purpose? Did the producer give Ivan the A-OK? Either way, the man creeped in the night. Okay. So we have his son in Pisces. So right off the bat, now sun sign astrology doesn't determine someone's inner world, but it, you know, their outward behavior, I would say this is certainly Piscean behavior to the max, which is like, "Ooh, I'm just going to slip slide into the other room. I'm just going to do something a little bit slippery, a little bit tricky. I'm going to like use whatever I can to either justify this behavior or think I can get away with it. And either way, when I am caught, I'm going to make sure everyone knows." I mean, I've dated a few Pisces where they're like, "My phone blocked you accidentally." And it's like, okay, you know, whatever. He is a Pisces sun, a slippery, sliding, fishy fish that you can't quite grab onto and has trouble being caught. And we've seen it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have his moon in Taurus. Same with our girl Mal. This Pisces sun just really like slip sliding around the beach, just hoping that somebody, you know, spears this fish and stops him from flip flopping. But it's like, it's having trouble. And like Taurus moon just wants to feel safe and taken care of and loved up and sort of, you know, I could see Ivan even having a thought like, "Look, it's not likely that I'm going to have sex on this beach. And honestly, I'd prefer to have it in a hotel room. So if worse comes to worse and I get a Piper out of this and Alexa and I click, then if I get kicked off the show, I could show the people that I'm sensitive. I can leave without having to tell Chelsea, who pulled me, that I'm not actually interested. Like, okay, Ive. He's one of the only cast members this season who we do have a rising for.
Ooh, okay. Awesome. What is it?
He is a Scorpio. As a Scorpio rising, can you justify this behavior? Like, how does this read Scorpio rising to you?
I mean, I think he totally thought he could just get away with it. That's number one, which is always the Scorpio thing of like, no one can see me, I'm invisible. And it's like, no, like there are producers, they're going to find a way to like bring this to light. And that includes also the Chelsea lie. Like he just blatantly was like, "Oh no, that's fine. You know, she said it." And it's like, dude, everyone's talking on the beach. You can't cling to that. And I even think like breaking the rules on the show is one thing, like who really cares? They're like arbitrary rules. But then when you use someone else, that's where he, you know, went too far. And I think, I mean, I don't know.
Well, what do you mean? Do you mean use someone else? Do you mean use someone else? Like, ruined Alexa's chances to get on the beach too, or White lied about too. Chelsea before the rose ceremony.
I mean, Chelsea, yeah, he was trying to just get Chelsea's rose so he could stay and see Alexa on the beach. But like, what were you going to do then? Then you would know that everyone would be like, do you guys already know each other? What the hell? Like, I don't know why these people keep thinking they can get away with it when the people right before them didn't. Then otherwise, to me, Scorpio rising can be a very like, I'm going to keep my cards close to my chest until I have everything all figured out. And I'm going to sense everybody else's energy and play off of that. So I think he did the right thing by he gave a very honest apology. He fully fessed up. He took it a little too far when he said, Chelsea, if you did give me a rose, I was actually going to give it back, because it's
that
like
that to me is so that to me is like so Scorpio Taurus.
Is it
in both cases? Because the Scorpio Taurus axis is very much about power and personal power versus personal power versus bonded power. And so either way, I think he wanted to be on record for like, I made this choice. And either way, I didn't want to be here with you. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, either way, I'm happy with this decision. It's like, okay, you cried on the beach though.
Yeah. And you were just lying to everyone like an hour ago. So like, you can't play the victim here. Like, you got to truly own up and be like, yeah, you know what? I'm kind of a clown. Like,
right,
I'm going to see myself out.
I think where we're seeing this is that actually, so most people, I would say as a rule, maybe this isn't a hard rule, but for the most part, people's suns and Mercury's tend to be in the same sign. He is a Pisces sun, but his Mercury is in Aries. So it's kind of like he is doing things, you know, that a criminal mastermind, but maybe, you know, breaking the rules on behalf of soul. That's Pisces. He's looking for love. He thinks, you know, on a higher level, if Alexa's the one, he's going to leave here with a relationship, whether it's on TV or not or whatever. But Aries Mercury means that when it comes to like his thinking and what he chooses to share, it is a little bit first draft. Right. So it's sort of like, you know, because I totally related in a way. I have a Leo Mercury and a Cancer sun. So I relate to this too in a way where it's like my voice doesn't always match exactly like what I think that my sort of I am energy is. Right. So his I am energy, which is the sun, is Pisces. I am soulful. I am emo. I am looking for love. I am just out here trying to connect. But then his Mercury is like, and I do what I want, and I don't give a fuck about Aaron. I don't give a fuck about the rules. I break protocol. Hey, right. I really related when he was on the beach and they were talking about the Chelsea thing. I was a little bit triggered that everyone was like, why lie? Why lie? And it's like, you know what? That to me was such a, I've done that where it's like, they called me, or not that I think he was like telling the truth. I don't think we actually saw a clip of it. There was no camera there in that moment, if I remember correctly. It was a 4-hour episode. So sometimes some details get lost in the fray. But like, I feel like Chelsea, you know, and I did take a look. Chelsea's a Virgo. Like, she was really on her high horse being like, actually, here's what really happened. But yeah. I could see if it were another person that had, you know, also maybe more Pisces in their chart or more water in their chart, it could have been the kind of thing that they didn't say like, these were the exact words he said to me. It could have been the kind of thing where it was like, yeah, we were talking and we decided to go for a walk and talk. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know how.
Right. Like, I don't know how extreme him going like, hey, can I pull you, Chelsea? I'm about to steal you from Aaron. Like, she made it sound like it was like all you, boo. And it's like, I don't know if that's true either.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like that is something that I probably would notice, just because I'd be like, this guy's into this. He's pulling me. You know what I mean? Like, it might stick out in your mind because you would remember making the first move and being like, can I talk to you?
But see, like, isn't that what Ivan said to Chelsea? Like he should have said, I pulled you. But what seems like it happened was they were talking at the bar and he got a whiff of she's into me for whatever reason, which then made him feel like, okay, I can say the sentence, you want to go for a walk and talk or whatever.
Yeah,
can I pull you?
But this is all kind of pointless because now we know he really was just trying to pull her so he could make out with her, get her rose, and then ditch her for Alexa the next week.
Right.
So I think you're giving him a little too much credit that moment.
Well, his south node is in Cancer in the 8th house, Scorpio house. North node is in Capricorn. So it's like on some level, he is here to learn about his own personal power. He is here to learn about like how to really build his own sense of a public life and a public life based on his values. Also, Cancer South Node with that Pisces sun. At the end of the day, this is a water boy and he's emo. Like those tears, I bet you he was holding them back all season. He is so put. He's so hurt that he doesn't just have someone to love. And like, I think, you know, he maybe did it in some slip slidey ways, but because of that Scorpio rising and that Cancer South Node and the Taurus moon, this dude is feeling in this moment out of fucking control. Cancer South Node, aside from being like emo from a soul level and kind of controlling in a maternal way from a soul level, he at the end of the day is going to do whatever he can to control the narrative so that he gets his needs met. This chart doesn't surprise me. Scorpio rising, Pisces sun, Cancer South Node, all of this water in the chart. This dude is going to use his feelings to justify any type of bad behavior. He is thinking he can get away with it. Pisces, for some reason, always try to get away with murder. And Scorpio rising, meaning that you're, you know, your I am and your moon are both not Scorpio, but you really, it's like, right, you think that you're kind of like out there in costume, but on reality TV, when you're rising is Scorpio, like there's not a lot of hiding, right? Like you can't really like,
yeah,
slip in and out of the scenes. You're mic'd up.
You can't. I mean, you tried when you weren't mic'd up in the hotel and it still didn't work. What's interesting is I also wonder what the producer said to him. Like maybe someone said, go for Chelsea, like, because none of this would have come out if Aaron wasn't being such a crybaby and being like so angry. And it's kind of funny because he was even saying like, I just feel like I can't help but be angry. Like even he's kind of sick of his own like shtick with the whole, right, like being so upset. But in this actual instance, it did serve him well. And none of this would have seen the light of day if he wasn't just so upset. So
right,
you do kind of wonder, it's just incredible how these producers pull it off. I don't know that they have some kind of deal with the devil, I think.
No, they really are doing some slippery tricks. And then it's also kind of whack because Aaron can suck my dick after all of his displays of I'm the bitch boy getting played out. Now we can play out Chelsea. She's an actual model and you have the longest legs on the beach.
Yeah. And then later McKenna as well.
Oh, McKenna. I am done. I am done with McKenna and Ed. That's what I'm saying. Ed and Aaron, who were finally knowing their role, date the beautiful, underappreciated, undervalued, incredible Black femme fatales who are here gracing you with their presence. Don't play out Chelsea in the second to last episode, you fucking idiot. Don't, Ed, your only reason for being on the show was to redeem Natasha. Fuck are you doing going to save that sad white girl who you don't even know?
So I have a couple thoughts about this. Number one, so coming from the Aaron point of view, he like totally gave McKenna the green light to ask him on that date and then sold her to the wolves. It was like insane. So then Ed comes in and saves the day. But I will say, I mean, she doesn't really seem that interested in Ed, but I think she realized like, well, I might as well just stay on the beach for a day or two. Like really, you might as well. The other thing is I think that Natasha's a little bit too intelligent for Ed. I mean, come on.
Oh my God. I
don't think she's actually into him. I think she's just hurting. And like, she just went through this whole thing where she was so used by Brendan. And like, he actually was a kind of good looking guy who she was probably actually into. Ed, I think, is the rebound. I think at the end of the day, we're doing Natasha a favor with this one. Like, don't stick around till the end. Just get out of there at this point.
Well, except that, like, I guess I don't know how the pay structure works. So, like, the only reason that I think it's stupid is because it's like, look, you obviously aren't going to date. She's so out of your fucking league. I mean, let's be honest. But it's like, do they both get a paycheck for stay? Like, they should have just been like, look, we're obviously not going to date. Let's keep painting each other, have some fun, and just get the paycheck for the next two episodes. Like, can you tell me that? Like, if you don't leave with an engagement, do you win?
You can go, you can continue to be in a relationship. It's like,
but like, what's the money here?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, the engagement ring you get a free engagement ring if you get engaged and stay together.
Got it.
So then you could sell that, or at least you saved money on your engagement ring. if you just leave, I don't know what the money is, but I mean, it's got to be pretty good. And at the end of the day, the real money's coming from gaining a following and getting subscriptions on Instagram. So in that regard, it is better to have a long haul experience in paradise. But then again, on the other hand, like we have like Noah and Abigail have been on the show the whole time they've been on the island. And, you know, now they're finally, who knows what just went down. I'm so confused.
Okay. I'll tell you what just went down.
Yeah.
We could just let's veer to that for a minute.
Okay.
This is not a case of heart of heart. It's a case of hard of hearing. First of all, Noah, if you're going to say I love you to the most guarded person on island who also has a hearing impairment, when you throw a quick I'm falling in love with you in a late night on the beach, you need to make sure that you're making fucking eye contact, dude.
That
know
is
your
true.
Audience. Know your fucking yeah. audience. She didn't when because when she said
with
like
anyone
with anyone, but especially someone who is specifically having processing issues, she actually has a sensory issue. So like she could have heard it slightly. Like what she says afterward is like, I didn't process what he said. I didn't really think about what he said until tonight, because she probably was like, did he say that? Like, because when he said it on the beach, she really did look blank face and stunned. She must be going in and out of really look. My grandfather at this point is now pretty hard of hearing. Not only have he and my grandmother, they've never had a better relationship, but he half the time is giving us a uh-huh, and he has no idea what the fuck we're saying.
True.
She's giving him a lot of like, like, I don't think she really heard him.
Yeah.
And I want to say that this was a masterclass in what we were talking about last week, which is like, okay, so even though Noah has all of that Scorpio in his chart, that fight on the steps was the most classic South Node Taurus versus South Node Taurus thing I've ever seen, because they both were being completely self-protecting, not telling the truth. He's lying when he's saying, I keep thinking maybe I can love you, but not be in love with you. Fuck you for saying that, but that's not what he means. And what he's really saying is, I'm embarrassed. I said I was falling in love with you. You didn't say shit. And yeah. Now I feel butthurt and exposed and vulnerable. He's not saying if he wanted to do that, like a real fucking Scorpio North Node and really activate all of that Scorpio power, he would have said, you hurt my feelings because I am falling for you. I said I was falling for you, and you blank face stared out into the ocean like you couldn't hear me. And then she might go, yeah. Wait. I actually low-key kind of couldn't hear you, and I didn't realize it until this morning that I think that's what you said. But now that we're prom king and queen, I feel like this was watching reality TV Carrie, which is like prom king and prom queen are Abby and Noah. And then she got proverbial pig's blood spilled on her head when he's fucking throwing out fake ass sentiments like, I just don't know.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So if you're my person, or I love you, but I'm not in love with you. It's like, no, you're falling for her and you don't know if she's falling for you. Say what you mean, you pussy ass bitch.
Yeah. I don't know why he just like dug his own grave like that, because to give her an out, like, is to end the relationship. Like she's so guarded and scared too, that like, if you give her even any little inkling, I think of like, maybe this isn't a thing, she's going to take it and run, and she might regret it later. And you might regret it later. Like, it's just like, I'm glad you read it that way too, 'cause I was just like, so confused. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's just protecting himself here. Like, 'cause he even said at some point, he's like, and I just don't think you're my person. And maybe you could be, maybe that could change. It's like, what? You're saying it's a gut feeling, but now you're saying that maybe it's not a gut feeling. And maybe like,
Well, because then I mean, she went right to, she pulled the ultimate bachelor move, which is to be like, last night you said you were falling in love with me. How can it be true that less than 24 hours later and after a dead-eyed blank stare on the dance, their dance floor was so tough to watch because they were like not even look, everyone's making out and they were like looking past each other. She's looking super content because she's like, I'm finally going to say it. And he's panicking the entire time. His eyes are like, oh, how do I have this conversation? Oh, I'm about to get dumped on TV. I better do it first. Right. And it's like, oh, Noah, just be a little patient. And then it's like, you could see all of her issues come up and out because aside from her being like, you've been lying, you've been wasting my time, you've been lying, you know, I'm blindsided, you know, all of that. It's like, okay, a little dramatic, Abigail, why don't you say your one vulnerable thing first? You can say one thing that gives him an inch. You don't, you can't, you read between the lines, I guess not. Okay. But then you could see while she was walking away and storming off and she's like in her confessional, she's like, this is obviously about something else. And he's not telling me. It's like, oh my God, she's panicking, thinking that he's remembering the Matt James conversation where she said, my kids are going to be deaf. And now he doesn't want deaf kids. It's like, whoa, Abigail, Abigail. Chill. He was just saying, you hurt my feelings.
Yeah, they're not communicating with each other well at all, these two. It's like so frustrating to watch. I almost just rather they would like kick it in the rear at this point. But also, like you had said in our previous episode, if they could get off camera, we might make a little bit more headway here. Because I think part of that, like if this was just them in real life, he might be like, all right, I'm gonna put that on ice. I'm gonna let it simmer for a couple of days. And I'm going to see if she says anything back. Instead, he's like, oh God, I'm on camera. I look like a clown now. I got to fix this.
100%. And I also think, you know, these two South Node in Taurus who are really just at the end of the day, reverting back to old tricks, which is just like protecting themselves. Like walls are up. This palace is safe. The drawbridge has been lifted. And then it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not what was going on. But they both took it as an immediate opportunity to be like, nope. I do think specifically this couple off camera has a shot. I think while she's on camera, she is not doing anything other than trying to protect her heart. She wants to stay there, but then she also doesn't really trust anything that's going on because it is, in, as a person who doesn't trust people anyway, being in the Bachelor frame, I don't know what she's doing there. Like that's where I'm like, Abigail, like, I hope that she and Noah end up together because I want to take this bitch off the market. The fact that she was like, this is actually my first prom. I want to say this bitch has bad experience with proms. Not only did this prom end in getting proverbial pig's blood spilled on her head as prom queen, but the first one, she got trapped in an elevator. But you want to know something? That's her energy. I bet you $1 million at the prom that she didn't have a date for, which she said, on the real eve of her prom when she was in high school, when she got trapped in the elevator, she was like, thank fucking God. And she could pretend to be upset and be like, I can't believe I missed prom, in the same way that she's like, I'm so confused. He's turning his back on me now because I'm deaf and he doesn't want deaf children. And he lied to me the whole time. It's like, okay. Yes, I get that you are upset, but you're upset, period. You're doing life with this baseline level of low-key, I'm upset, period. And so that's really what we're seeing. But her energy is trapped in the elevator before prom and upset about it.
Yeah. And not actually upset about it.
I will say, like, from a meta sense, it was sort of like, and maybe I'm giving the producers too much here, right? But it, in a way, this really is the first time that we've seen actual filmmaking done on island, because we are all leaving that conversation being like, wait, I'm confused, what happened? But you know what? I feel like that's probably Abigail's experience this entire time. And in that way, it's sort of deep.
True, it is.
It's like in Panic Room where you really feel like you're in the room. Like this was emotional Panic Room where we really felt like we were in the room.
Yeah. Okay. So now there's one other person or maybe couple that I'd like to discuss this week.
Yes.
So we've seen now the return of a former villain, Anna. So Anna was on Matt James's season. She was from the Chicago area. She was, I think, a bottle girl at some clubs, and she ran in the same circle as this girl, Brittany. And Brittany was one of those girls who they bring in second shift to spice things up a couple episodes in as they started.
No pun intended, but bottle girl to bottle girl. This was a second shifter. And that is the rumor she started.
So true. So Anna just is the most like self-aware person, I think, that's ever been on the show, spreads this rumor about Britney, has no idea that that would not be a nice thing to do, that she has heard from people before she went on the show that Britney is an escort in the Real Nation of Chicago. She
also says in Nation USA.
Yeah. And she's also just like, I don't know, Chicago is a small town. I just kind of heard this. And it's like, is Chicago a small town? Because what is our definition of small town at that point? But I get what she's saying. So that was her whole thing. Then she kind of quickly became the villain because everyone was like, that's really just not cool. Like, even if that was Britney's thing, Britney had just like, if that was true, go Britney, make your dough. We love it. We support. But also like, be the owner of your own narrative and don't have silly Anna telling your whole story for you. And Britney came in with a lot of confidence. She seemed like a badass. She seemed very cool. And like this rumor just like pretty much tarnished her reputation. And she was gone in an episode or two, not because Matt kicked her out because of that, but she just kind of went like wet noodle after that and wasn't really like contributing to the show in the way that she originally had when she came in with confidence. So everyone ended up kind of hating Anna.
Anna, I will say there's one other thing that I do think is worth noting, which is that she looked remarkably similar to franchise fan favorite, most popular bachelorette contestant of all time, Hannah Brown.
Do you think? Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay.
You don't think she, oh my God. I felt like they were pranking her by casting her because it was like, no matter what, she was always going to be. It's like kind of like the way that guy Logan Marshall Green looks exactly like Ed Hardy, but like Ed Hardy, or is it Ed Hardy? No, Tom Hardy. I'm fucking it all up. But it's like when you have like
Ed Hardy,
the clothing maker. No, Tom Hardy and Logan Marshall Green. Who else are like famous doppelgangers where one is just like way more famous than the other? Like,
oh, like those two redheads, Chastain and
Howard. This is a Howard Chastain head to head with Redmond and Brown. And we got two colors. And you know what? Brunettes are more common. And I hate to say it, they're not the bad girl vixens that the Reds are, but Hannah Brown, the most popular.
Oh yeah, by far. And a Dancing with the Stars champ. I mean, I hate to bring it back, but we're in dancing season now. But yeah, that is true. Anna has maybe changed her face a little bit since that first season. So I kind of forgot about that, but like, you go girl. I mean, she looks great. She really does. And she was also known for like showing her teeth a lot that first season. And
right,
like,
she was that big grinny, that big smile, even like it was her birthday the other day. And I saw that her current fiance or whatever, like the whole post was like that smile. And it's like 10 pictures with her grinning ear to fucking ear.
Oh man. But yeah, so she's back. She's back to reclaim her reputation, I guess, and try and do something nice. But you're coming in at the end of the experience. Most people are wifed up. It's not so good. So she does find a partner in James, and they go on a strange date where they're wrapped up like churros, and then they get a snake massage. And I said, I don't understand what the through line, like theme of this date is, but we're going with it.
Well, I think the theme of the date is almost just like, how do we speed up the process of intimacy, which is not really what it's not working, but it's like, how do we put them in like naked, scary, erotic positions as soon as possible so that we can just see how they feel? I mean, because to be honest, it wasn't like she was like, I like James. She actually asked out everyone on the beach first. And then when she caught wind that it wasn't that how it was like, well, you know, check out James and Tia are really like, they barely know each other and they're fucking flip flopping back and forth like fucking Ivan ass Pisces ass fish. And so she's like, okay, let me go talk to him. And she found the other person on island who maybe also has veneers. I thought that was, I mean, I do think they had two really notable things in common that I will mention when it's all said and done, which is that number one, they both might have veneers. His teeth look more.
You think they're the only people?
Hers.
I feel like a lot of people.
Who else there? Oh,
just assume that most people on reality TV have veneers.
Yeah, maybe. But I don't know. Sometimes like, I don't know. I feel like in this season, there is more of like a natural, sort of a natural thing. I don't know. To me, when I put up that post last night, that was like, does anybody have any questions? Three people were like, what's with Anna's teeth?
Interesting.
you know, and he doesn't strike me as someone with, they both don't have bad teeth necessarily, but Anna's teeth have been either their veneers or they have been shaved. There's no fang on that girl. She is not, okay. I don't know how she's biting into an apple. I don't know where there's not a vampire tooth in sight in that girl's mouth.
Oh, I have to take a closer look. Is that in the, could that important. Be in the chart anywhere? Does any sign rule teeth?
Okay. So Anna, no shock to anyone. Gemini sun, Gemini Venus, you know.
Oh my God. That would have been my guess. Like just.
Tale as old as time.
No idea that she's.
Just gossiping and just flip flopping and just trying to find a connection with anybody. The reason that it made sense to me is like on some level, they kind of did like look alike. Like they actually look like a couple that.
Like run the country club, you know.
Right. Like, yes.
Like, yeah.
Right. Big golf club energy. Big. Yes. Big white people, sort of Connecticut, just big white energy, right? So, okay. Now, it's interesting because when we're talking about what is it that makes her teeth so, so very square, here's what I'm thinking. So she has her moon and her north node in the same place in Libra with her Chiron. So I'm thinking, aside from being an accidental relationship exploder and accidentally flipping on people, like when she spread that rumor, as if she even had a shot at love in her season, she did not. She was nowhere in the running. She was a second rate Hannah Brown, you know, who had like, except that she had that like Theranos lady, like eyes don't blink sort of thing.
Yep.
Right. She had this very open eyed, you know, and no fangs. So what I think is that like, OK, so aside from her accidentally blowing up relationships left and right, she has that Chiron in Libra. So aside from Libra being about relationships, it's also about beauty and it's about physical beauty. And so I think she was probably haunted by she must have had. Either really, really wacky teeth or just big chompers that were all snaggle tooth or whatever. I'm looking for a before pick if anyone has one. But I think that like it was the kind of thing where she was like, okay, I'm stepping up and really like taking my power back or whatever. And she's like, first things first, if I'm really going to be, let alone PR, if I'm going to be on TV, I'm going to need to shave these chompers down. Just and she has the most unnatural. I mean, it's just her teeth truly are. Just across the board, exactly the same length.
Oh, darn it. Something see, I didn't even notice that.
Really?
Yeah. But now I will. Now I will for sure.
Yeah. Go judge her physically because that's really what's important. That's really what we're doing here. Now, the other thing that Anna and James had in common, for the most part, when I have just Googled, you know, Ivan Hall natal chart, it comes up Bachelor Nation. You've done such a wonderful job of sourcing and providing this information for the internet. And now there is a huge database of all the Bachelor and Bachelorette contestants. You know who's missing from all the databases? Anna Redman and James, the spy of the hologram from the other dimension, Bonsall, whatever his fucking name is. They both have charts that I had to research to find their birthdays. They may or may not be right because they're also on those websites that are like married life, net worth. Like, I don't know if you ever see those websites, allfamousperson.com or whatever. So I found two pieces of literature online that very blankly stated where they were born and when, which on some level is helpful because these two may actually have more, either it's like wrong and someone just put it in like Sarah Armour makes $500,000 a year on Space Trash podcast. Seems to be like all fake or Sarah is 47 years old. I saw something once and it's like, how do they even know I am? Right. But like, oh, it's just because I like literally have just stopped taking care of myself during the pandemic. So I look 47, but both of their charts have not been uploaded into the database. We got two people who somehow are on this show.
They're off the grid.
We got no fan interest in the two of them.
Because James is a hologram.
Well, this is
and he's an enigma wrapped in a riddle. And if you haven't listened to the Erica Jane episode yet, you're missing out.
I do hope that we find out that he has some like sword story that has him rolling in cash because otherwise this dude is just out here looking for love. And I think low key, he's in a lot more emotional pain than he's letting on.
Oh.
You know why?
Well, that's sad.
Let me tell you why. We have our boy James, Aries' son. Okay. I am here to find love. I am the hot guy. I am fire. He thinks he's the fucking leader. He thinks he's the fucking man. You know where his moon is?
Where?
28 degrees Cancer.
Cancer.
We have our first Cancer moon here. So this guy is an Aries sun Cancer moon. That means that he does have that like confidence to get out and go and do his own thing. And sure, yeah, I don't care if no one picks me. I'm still this hot guy. At least I have a bromance, right? But at the end of the day, that sun is square his moon in Cancer at like the most, it's at the penultimate degree of Cancer. It's a very late degree Cancer moon. This man on the inside, he emo, he's sensitive. And so he's like pretending that he's like not hurt by how this has gone at all. But I actually think part of why, if he hasn't made real connections on the beach yet, it's because on some level, this man is guarding his heart because he's like, this is too painful. Like nobody likes me. His South Node is also in Leo. So from a past life, he's used to getting a lot of attention. He's used to people adoring him. I do think we're seeing him live his life's purpose in some way on this season of The Bachelor because his North Node, his Mars, and his Venus are all in Aquarius. So he really is meant to detach a bit and like just care more about like the overall storyline and like just see himself as part of the crowd. Like part of his life's work is to become a little bit less egoic, which is very hard for an Aries sun Leo South Node, and especially with that Cancer moon, his feelings feel very real. But I think this is a good life lesson that we're watching him walk through, which is like, can he gracefully just be someone that we don't really care about?
Can he? Yeah, I mean he has, but I think you're right. I mean, you have to kind of wish a little bit. Like I almost wish I just had an almost relationship and left a couple weeks ago. Because right. To be the guy right. Who just like coasted along the whole time and never really had anything with anyone.
Right. He never really had anything with anyone there. You know, I do think that it's very indicative of a Cancer moon to at least find a pal. Like, I mean, I do think there's been a lot of information about the bromance between Clancy and James and Aaron and James. They have a bromance that they could have a spinoff show about, right? Like they're the new Dr. Joe and Brendan, and they're the new Chris Conran and whoever he was friends with outside of the show or whatever. Right. So it's like, they have these bromances that pop up, Matt James and Tyler Cameron, like bachelor besties or whatever. So like, maybe there's some like gladiator show with partner competition where we could have a spinoff, right? Like I would watch that. But I do think that like, as long as he had that friend there, especially because Aaron was also going through it, not being chosen, he's fighting for his honor. Did you pull her to talk or did you pull her to talk or did she pull you to talk? Right? Like, man, we are down in the shits here. Like these guys are, the reason their bromance is so strong is because they're both like, yo, I'm not doing this alone. Like at least we have someone.
Yeah. And now they're like, I wonder if that's almost to their detriment at this point.
I think so.
I could see James skipping town with Anna and just like going for it.
They don't have a lot of exact connections. Like when we're looking at these charts, I'm shocked at how much exact connection there is, but it's like, he's fire, he's water. She's got a lot of air. Her chart is like the breeze. You know, the breeze can work with his fire and stoke his fire sun ego. And then at the end of the day, his Cancer moon is going to really sort of, I guess, like, what do I want to say? Like, get off. Is that the right way to put it? Like, sort of get off on the fact that he was able to like give her this good experience. I will say the one hesitation that I have here is that he is a Aries sun, right? She is a Aries Saturn and Aries South Node, meaning Saturn sun relationships, unless they're like really fucking serious and you like hitch up right away. When you have Saturn connecting with either the sun or the moon, there's a weight to the relationship. It can show difficulties in the relationship. I think ultimately he would end up triggering her because aside from being ambitious and probably sort of self-obsessed or self-absorbed in whatever way, I think ultimately he's going to be a little bit too emo or a little bit too sensitive, a little bit too watery for her. Like, she's really got a lot of fire and a lot of air. Now, she does have that Mars Mercury in Earth that for a while is going to be able to work with all his water. That's how we build mud and water. But ultimately, she also has her Lilith directly conjunct his moon in Cancer, which means that, like, she could also do something if they were to date. Once he finally feels safe and she finally feels like now she's not like the laughing stock of Bachelor Nation because of her teeth and what a mean girl she is, and she's not just Hannah Brown or whatever, that she then would like hit him where it hurts, which is to do something where, like, you know, maybe they move in together and then she cheats or something like that, where it's like she hits him where it hurts, which is really like at home and in his heart and in his sensitivity. Okay, Casey has to go. She's a big work day. Casey, thank you so much for joining us. I will post this immediately because the people need
to know this. And next week is our final episode, so we'll see what goes down. I'm just confused and interested.
Honestly, I can't believe it's 3 hours. How much more could we possibly do on this show?
Honestly.
Okay. Have a wonderful day at work. Thank you so much for giving us your time while you actually have a real job. I love you so much.
I love you too. Bye, Trashlings.
Bye, Trashlings.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.